Well, good morning to you again. Open your Bibles to Book of James. Amen. I've heard some people say, man, how long are we going to be in the Book of James? As long as it takes. You know, preacher comes and goes, and he's been staying more than he's been leaving, so I've been filling in a little less. It's going to take us longer to get through the book. But this is the way I look at it. If we get through with that, we have to go to another one, right? And you've heard that before too, right? So what does it really matter which book we're in, as long as we're in the Word? And I don't know, I love the book of James. I've learned so much from it, and it's so important. You know, with that being said, I could ask you, why are you here this morning? You know, that's what the book of James is about. It's about why we're here this morning. What are we to believe, and what are we to do? What is church? You know, so many people today, they'll get up in the mornings and run to church and run home. But the problem is they run to the church building. They're not actually going to church. You know, church is not the building. Church is the body of Christ. Collectively, the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ gathered together. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembly of thyself together. So collectively, we are the church. And I think it's sad that sometimes we forget that, even as Christians. We forget that. But folks, we're supposed to be here to get something from God this morning. And we're to be here to worship and praise our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for this morning. And I think it's so important that we understand that, because it has a lot to do with the rest of our lives. If we don't understand what church is and why we're here and what does it mean to be, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, we use that term so loosely anymore. Not just anything that walks in this building is a Christian. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. And if you're a Christian, then it should mean something to you. Oh, it should be so important. And the more I study through James, the more important it becomes to me. There's so much that we just don't understand. So much that we don't grab a hold to it. We just don't seem to get it today. And what James is trying to teach us through his writings, it's so important. If we'll just look around at the world today, look at the churches that are falling apart. Why are they falling apart? You know, do we ever stop to think about why is God's church just falling apart? The answer's right here. It's his people. Because of the lack of knowledge that God's people have today. We don't study the Word. We don't even think about what this Bible actually means. You understand men died, gave their lives so that you and I could have this book today? You and I have an opportunity to study God's Word because men gave their lives that we could do that. And more importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life that we could have eternal life. But we almost act like it really doesn't mean that much to us. We'll come in here in Sunday school, and some of us, we sleep through the entire class like we didn't sleep last night. I mean, we had all day to sleep, right? Most of us in this class are retired, right? Most of us, not all of us. I still work. A lot of you still work. But most of us are retired, but we don't have time to sleep till we get here. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do understand that it does sleep much better in the Lord's house than it does at home, right? That's the truth. But I just feel like it should be more important to us. It should mean something to us. We should be here this morning to try to get something from God. And regardless of how bad I mess this message up and bring it to you this morning, if you'll just read the words that we're going through, you'll get something from it. God will give you something. Whether I can or not doesn't really matter. But God will give you something if you'll just put an effort forward. And as we go through James this morning, you'll see how important it is that we understand what the book of James, what James is trying to teach us through his book. And there's another thing I would like for you to do. When you get home, James is only 5 chapters, and they're pretty short chapters. You can actually read this fairly quickly in one sitting. I know it's broken down into chapters and verses, and that's for us to be able to study it easier. But what I would like for you to do is read James in its entirety as a letter, because that's the way it was written. And if you'll do that without breaking it up, if you'll read it straight through, sometimes you'll get a little extra from it. You'll see things that you wouldn't see when you just read a chapter and then come back and go to another chapter. Because sometimes we don't remember things. So we're going to do a little bit of review this morning. I know you said, well, we reviewed last time, and we're going to review next time too. Because I want you to remember, because if you're like me, I can barely remember what I read yesterday. I mean, I read through this last night. And I brought notes with me this morning in case I don't remember what I read. So, and I know a lot of you are just like I am. You have to read it, and then you need to read it. And then when you get through reading it, you're not sure what you read, right? Amen. I mean, when you get to be our age, sometimes things just don't stick anymore. So we have to continue to read and continue to read. So don't feel like you're the only one, because I promise you, you're not by yourself. I'm right there with you. I can read and read and read. If I don't write it down, I might forget what book we're studying this morning. I mean, sometimes, you know, we just get that way, don't we? Just like reading a prayer list up there. I forgot that I had those ones on the side over there. We do this every Sunday. But we get to that point. And then the younger folks, they don't have an excuse, okay? You younger folks in here, you're without excuse. So we just, we need to tighten up as believers and as Christians. Boy, look around the world today. Just look what's going on all over the country. Look at the attitudes even of the so-called church. You know, I can't understand why the church is not in the uproar. I mean, they are trying to take away your rights and your freedoms everywhere you go, trying to destroy America. And with that being said, I mean, man, I hate to bring this up, but if you go into a grocery store, can't help myself, you go into a grocery store now, self-checkout, right? They're trying to encourage you to use self-checkout. Well, have you ever thought about the entire picture? It's not so bad that it's a self-checkout. First of all, you don't get paid, right? Right? You don't get an employee discount, all right? But that's not bad enough. Here's the bad thing. Those machines don't pay taxes. Have you thought about that? They do not pay Social Security. So you younger folks that are coming up, you would like to draw a Social Security check. I think you got to be 112 now, you know, to draw. If you're older than me, you got to be really old to draw Social Security, okay? But if look at all the hundreds of thousands of people that are out of a job where a machine has replaced them, and that machine's not paying taxes, and it's not paying Social Security. And yet people flock to the machine rather than stand in line. I'll walk out of the building or stand in line. I'm not using the machine until I'm forced where I don't have an option. Those taxes aren't being paid, but guess what? They're still going to build the roads and the bridges. So let me ask you this. Who's going to pay them? You are. So your taxes are going up because there's less people paying taxes. And those who's looking forward to drawing Social Security probably aren't, because there won't be any money. I mean, there's none there now. So what makes you think there's going to be some there 10 or 20 years from now and with less people paying in? So we just, what I'm trying to say to you is we need to look at the entire picture in its entirety. You understand it's the same way with the church. If we don't understand the structure and the makeup of the church and the laws that God has given us to obey and to follow, then we'll lose track of what's truly happening. Our churches today are closing all around America, and people don't know and don't care. That's sad. Because we as believers should care about God's word and God's work. Every single one of us. And we'll touch bases on that a little bit here in just a short bit. So I want to review just a little bit. First of all, the book of James was written by the brother of Jesus. He became a believer after the resurrection of Christ. James had a strong leadership in the church, and his leadership was vital to maintaining a doctrinal purity and a unity among the growing and diverse church. We talked about that in chapter 1, how the church was being split up and divided and pushed all over the place. Well, with that being said, as the church scattered out, they continued to do God's work, which is what we wanted, right? Well, see, the devil took bad, used it as a bad thing to scatter the church abroad. God used it as a good thing, didn't he? He just started little churches all over the place. But what happened then is the same thing that happens today. As we add to the church daily, and we pray every day that there's a lost soul here, that they will get saved before they leave. However, when you come into the building here and you become a believer and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you bring your luggage with you. We're not mad at you. We all did it. We all do it. Our luggage comes along. Well, that luggage is not good doctrine. It's bad doctrine. I heard a man say you can't get saved in the church of God. We had an argument right there. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what church you're in. If they're preaching God's word and that person comes under conviction and accepts Christ, he's saved. You know, what follows is bad doctrine. That's what follows in that type of a church. It's not that a person can't get saved. It's after they get saved, they're taught bad doctrine. Are they still saved? Yes. If you understand the fact that you're a sinner and you know that you're going to die and go to hell without Christ, and you ask Christ into your heart and you ask forgiveness and you repent of your sin and ask Jesus to save you, you're saved. And it doesn't matter what building you're in. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're in a Catholic church. It doesn't make any difference. You're still saved. But what follows that is bad doctrine. That's why James is pushing us and fighting. He's taking a stand on the principles of God's word. He's saying this is what God tells us. This is what we're supposed to do as believers. This is how we're to follow Christ. And today, sadly, in the church house itself, people aren't following the doctrines of Christ. People even get mad. And folks, let me tell you something. Don't get upset when you hear the truth. If you're doing wrong, that's on you. Don't blame God for your sin. And don't get upset with me because I'll tell you what the Bible said about it. For example, you drink alcohol. It's wrong. It don't matter if you like it or not. You can get mad and do whatever you want. It's still wrong. You smoke cigarettes. It's wrong. Well, that's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I think that covers it. Don't you think that would cover that? There's nothing holy about that. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on of things that we do. And these are the things that James is trying to teach us against. And then one of the biggest things, which we'll bring up later on, is bickering among ourselves. You know, I heard Pastor Carter say one time, he was talking about the Muslims were talking about that the Christians don't even know what the real Bible is. We got over 300 different types. You know, I don't agree with them. I think I know what the real Bible is. I got it right here. Old King James. I'll just stick by it. But folks, they got a good valid point, don't they? And the reason for that is because as the church scattered and as the bad doctrine creeps into the church, rather than taking a stand because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. I don't want to hurt your feelings either. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to pretend like smoking's okay. If you smoke, that's on you. I'm not going to hate you for it. I don't think any less of you. You know, you think about it like this. You smoke a cigarette or you tell a lie. They're both sin. Okay? So I'm not going to hate you for either one of them. You know, what you do is between you and God. But I am going to tell you what God says about it. You know, he tells us we're not supposed to lie, are we? But nobody in here has ever told a lie, have they? No, we wouldn't dare do that. How many times did you lie last week? It's so easy to tell a lie, isn't it? Well, it's just a little white lie. It's still a lie. Well, see, we forget that sometimes, don't we? So that's what James is fighting against. He's trying to keep the doctrinal purity of the church. And that's why this book is so important. Folks, we need to read through it. It wouldn't hurt us to read through this book every week. Just read through this book just to remind us, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where I should be living my life. This is how I should be doing and acting every day of my life. What God has given me right here. Folks, I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but I just can't help it. If you stop and think about this, what you do, how you live your life, the way you speak, the way you act, the way you dress, the way you present yourself, what you believe, that is going to affect what's going to happen in this church. That is going to affect whether or not this church will be here next week and the following week and the following week. You say, well, how's that possible? How's the devil get into the church? Does he come walking in boldly, walking through that door? No. No. The church is destroyed how? From within. It implodes from the inside out. God's people are become so worldly that they can't see the godly truth and are no longer any good to God. That's what happens to us. That's why the purity of the church is so important. And that's why as a church, and we want the church to be diverse. We want lost people to come in. But as they bring their luggage, we don't want to pick that luggage up. We want to teach them to lay it aside. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. And we're to love them. We're not to hate them. Do we hate somebody because they got sin in their life? No. I got sin in my life. You got sin in your life. We all do. Let me tell you something. If you're thinking that you don't have sin in your life, that's a sin. Yeah. And what does the Bible teach us? That if I've committed the least sin against God, what have I committed? All of them. If I've broken one little commandment, then I've broken all of them, what the scripture teaches us. So none of us are any better than somebody else. I heard a preacher say one time, I believe it was Dr. Brown, talking about we're all made up of what? Dirt. Walking, talking dirt balls. Well, that's a lot to be proud of, isn't it? I mean, think about that. And yet some of us act like we're just so proud. The only good thing about us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to remember. And that's why we should be here this morning. We should be here this morning because we know that we need something from our God. Every one of us in this room, me, you, we all need something from God. We need to be reminded. If nothing else, I want to be reminded. I love it when a preacher gets up here and steps all over my feet. Because I want to be reminded every day, this is where I was. This is where I am. Praise God. I don't want to be over here anymore. And I don't want to slowly drift back to where I was either. Are you going to hell? No. No, you're born again. You can't lose your salvation. I heard a preacher say one time, a fellow was smoking. And he asked the preacher, was it going to send me to hell? He said, no. But when you get to heaven, you're going to smell like you just come from hell. Think about that one. But that's the way it is with us, folks. That sin's not going to send us to hell. But it sure doesn't look good on us. So it's very important that we grab a hold to those things. And the book of James is going to teach us the basis and the issues of how faith should affect our behavior. You know, folks, when we're born again, we should have a little different attitude than the lost man in the world. We should have a different outlook on things. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel that way. And I know you're probably closer to God than I am. Maybe you don't have that problem. But let me just give you a little example. If I'm riding down a road and somebody pulls over in front of me and slows down to 3 miles an hour, I get upset. You know, I'm ready to come unglued. Is that proper as a Christian? No. I should be praying for that man. Lord, help this fool. He don't know what he's doing. He about got himself killed. That's what I should be praying, right? Folks, but we have an attitude that's just not correct as Christians. I catch myself doing that all the time. You get in the line and go to Walmart and get in the line in the grocery store with my wife. Whew. Boy, you need to start praying. Amen. Because we're all that way, aren't we? Some of us, maybe it's in the restaurant or maybe it's on the telephone. I don't know about you, but I get 14 million calls every week. Scammers trying to get your social security numbers or trying to get something from you, trying to steal something from you. Do you get upset? Sure you do. We all do. But as Christians, we should not allow these things to interfere in our lives. You think about what happens. You start getting upset and your day just starts going downhill and sometimes it progressively gets worse. You know, sometimes we just need to stop and pray and ask God to keep us on track. But that's what James is trying to do. That's what he's trying to teach us. It's also going to clear up some salvation by faith or by work salvation. We studied that just a while back. And if you read through that and you study that, you'll get it for yourself. You know, a lot of people, you see people out today knocking doors and working so hard to go to heaven. Well, God bless them, but working is not going to get you to heaven. It's okay to do a good work, good for them, happy for them, but working is not going to get you to heaven. You're never going to be good enough to get to heaven. We studied that. Salvation comes by what? Faith. By hearing, right? Hearing the word. By faith. And it teaches us the need for believers to live godly lives. In chapter 1, it was teaching faith and endurance. It taught us to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. In chapter 2, we studied about faith and how faith without works is dead. And that's what I was just talking about. James wasn't talking about works rather than faith. That's not what he was doing. He was just teaching us what? That if we're saved, then we ought to have works. Think about that, folks. If the Lord Jesus is here, if he lives inside of you, how can you not have any works? How can you not want to do something for the Lord? How can you not have a desire to be in his house on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night? I mean, if he lives inside of you, you think you would have a desire to be there. So if that desire is not there, maybe you need to check out your salvation. Because if the light's on, Jesus is going to be there, right? So think about that. And then chapter 3 was the warning to them that teach and learning to govern our tongue. We, none of us have a problem with that. And we learned that true wisdom comes from God, not man. The wisdom that God gives us. And in chapter 4, that's where we're going this morning. Open your Bibles to chapter 4. Chapter 4 is going to teach us to draw close to God. It warns against covetousness and pride. It warns against judging others. And it warns about self-confidence. And I believe we stopped at about verse 4. We'll go back to verse 1 and we'll kind of get a running start and hit it head on. Amen. So let's look at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Man, oh man, oh man. First of all, that right there where that spirit is, you notice that's a little S. That's not the Spirit of God that's in us. That would be a capital S, right? This is the little S. This is our spirit. So the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us envy to lust. That's our own little spirit. But with that being said, let's go back up and look at verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members? So what's he telling us right there? All that envy, where's it coming from? Within us, right? Coming from ourselves. What are we fighting about? Folks, we'll do anything. Envy, what is envy? First of all, what is envy? You look at that big house the man's got, or a big fancy car that man's got, and you're envious, you'd like to have his car, wouldn't you? What the Bible is teaching, what James is teaching us right here, he's saying, look, you'd do anything to get it. You're fighting, you're warring. How about countries that are in war today? What do they war about? They all want the same thing, don't they? One person's got it and the other one wants it. That's what all the war is about. Envying amongst ourselves. Come they not hence even as your lust that war in your members? Folks, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get something that doesn't belong to you. It creates all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. And then he goes on to say, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot attain, ye fight and war. Yet ye have not because ye ask not. You say, preacher, I ask. I ask all the time. I'm all the time praying and asking God. What did he say? What's he say the next part of that verse? Or verse 3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask what? Amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. How many times when we pray and we ask God, yeah, we ask God for a new car. We ask God for a bigger house. We ask God for this or that. How many times do we pray earnestly? How many times do we pray for the church? How many times do we pray for God's people? How many times do we pray for our neighbors? How many times do we pray for the lost people around us? How many times do we pray for our nation, our country? Folks, if you want God to answer your prayers, first of all, get your ducks lined up in a row. Get your mind where it should be on godly things. God would give you the desires of thy heart when your desires are right. But folks, when your desires is all about self, that's what he said right here, you can consume them upon your lust. We ask, and we still don't have because we're asking amiss. We're not asking for the right reasons. We're not asking for God for the things that are godly. Folks, let me tell you something. God promises to take care of our needs. He feeds the birds. He feeds the deers and the antelopes. He feeds the squirrels. Think about it. Do you think you're less than they are? You think God won't feed you? Folks, we need to get our desires correct. We need to get our heart in the right place. You can ask for anything, and if it's of God, God will give it to you. And then sometimes God just says no. I know people say, well, I prayed for my mama when she was dying, and God took her anyway. Sometimes that's his will. It's his will to take. They're his people. We all belong to him. And if it's his will, then it's his will. He'll say no. Well, we have to learn to accept that, don't we? But if we're asking in God's will, then it won't bother us, will it? But folks, when I ask God to leave somebody here, it's if it be thy will. That's what's important. What's important is what God wants. We can't see tomorrow. We have no idea what's coming down the road tomorrow. God does. Everything that we pray about, that new car that you want, might be what sends you to the grave. See, we don't think about those things. God knows all of those things. So when we get our heart right with God and we get our desires correct, God will take care of us. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I want to park right there for just a moment. What does he mean, friendship of the world is enemy of God? And this is what people say, I'm not a friend of the world. And here today, are you the friend of the world? If you are, your enemy's with God. Oh, no, I'm not God's enemy. I love the Lord. Well, you listen to his music or you listen to the worldly music? We don't think about that, do we? Are we watching his programs on TV? Are we watching the world's programs? Are we walking around, are we getting ourselves tattooed up? That's real godly, right? I believe I read somewhere in the Bible tells me not to do that. How about all the body piercings? Are we getting plenty of body piercings? Well, according to that, that's being friends with the world. How about the way we dress? Some of these ladies, oh, don't get mad at me. Some of these ladies, they hate to put on a dress or a skirt. They hate that. Why? That's godly. It's dressing modestly. That's what it's about. The problem is today that men and women would rather please the world than to please God. Or they would rather please themselves than to please God. Oh, no, that's not true. Yes, it is. How many men come to church and can't dress themselves appropriately? Well, I like to be comfortable. You get comfortable when you're at home. But when you go to God's house, you go for God. I mean, you don't love the Lord enough to be uncomfortable for just a little while. Think about that. That's worldly. And then we can't figure out why the church has gone amiss the way it has today. You understand that's what James is trying to tell us right here? James is trying to tell you right here, if you love God, love God. Don't love the things of the world. But no. We love Disney World. That's real godly. Think about that. Folks, we do so many things every day that's nothing but the world. Satisfying the lust of the flesh. Then we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. When we're serving, we're serving the world constantly, continually throughout the days. You know, there is a such thing as having a need for a car. There's nothing wrong with having a new car. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home. There's nothing wrong with eating steak. Hey, God put them here for us, amen? That's the way I feel about it. But serve God. He's the one that gives us everything that we got. That new home, that come from God. That steak, it come from God. Yeah, that cold soda, that iced tea, it come from God. That couch that you sit on, if it weren't for God, you wouldn't have it. How about the health that you have that you're able to get here this morning? You know, we talked about this morning the man who died that we could have this book. And yet we'll come to church and don't even bring one with us. Or we'll bring an NIV. Think about that. Some people don't even know the difference between the NIV and the King James. That's sad, folks. But that's where we're at today in the church. Go over to the book of Revelations and read about the Laodicean church age. That's the time that we're living in right now. They've basically thrown God out of the church house. They've brought the world in. And then they can't figure out why things aren't going the way they ought to be going. Folks, when we become worldly, and when we start trying to please the world rather than pleasing God, the world comes into our churches and the church becomes extinct. Because if the church gets worldly enough, sooner or later, they'll replace the pastor with a worldly pastor. That's what they'll do. And God will be outside knocking on the doors like he is in Revelations, trying to get back into the church house. That's what happens. So think about that. Because what happens to our church depends on what happens to God's people. Because we make up the church. So when we have a nonchalant attitude towards God, which I think is sinful, we come here and we say that we love God, but we don't live a life showing that we love God. I see Christians all the time that go out to lunch and they're ashamed to pray. That's sad. How about, this is something that cooks my goose. If you're here today and you're from out of town and you're a preacher, I'm sorry if you're dressed this way. But I see preachers all the time, they'll go to another church. It's my day off. And they go in, don't wear a tie, don't wear a coat. Man of God in God's house. It's my day off. So, you're still in God's house. Represent God while you're there. You know something, if I was to go off, there's a lot of places today that you go, you cannot find an independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing church in a lot of places that you go today. So if I can't find one, if I go to another church, guess what? I'm going to represent myself as such. I promise you, you'll stand out. Maybe they'll want to know what you are, who you are, and where you're from, and I'm proud to tell them. Because I'm still going to represent the King. And that's the way we ought to be. You have a chance to stand out. How about when family comes down and you don't come to church Sunday? Well, my family came down. Well, my family comes down, they come to church Sunday. You understand what I'm saying? But rather than us bringing them into God's house, we let them keep us out into the world. Well, my family came down, so we went to Disney. What? Your family came down? Praise God, bring them to church with you. This is where they need to be. But see, that's the worldly side of us, isn't it? And we're all guilty of it. Don't think we're not, because every one of us in one way or another are falling away from the traditions of God, and we're stepping into the worldly things. But that's not where we need to be, is it? Folks, what we do every day of our lives is going to depend on how this church is going to survive. God's people. Without God's people, it's just God. And if God's people are so worldly that they no longer want to adhere to the truth, which is happening all over the world, churches all over the place, teaching they got homosexuals in the pulpit. That's real godly. Where does that lead? It leads to people going to hell. That's where it leads, because people aren't getting saved. We had a woman here not too long ago got saved, and she'd been in church all of her life, and she never heard the gospel. Never knew that she had to be saved. Never knew that Jesus died for her. How sad is that? How do you go to church all your life and never know that? Because she wasn't in church. She was in a building, maybe with a steeple on it, that called church. Folks, that's why it's so important that we take a stand for what's right. We need to stand with James and the things, the doctrines that he's teaching. We need to take that same fight that James is taking. We need to stand up for doctrinal purity. We need to inconvenience ourselves just a little bit. It's important that we're here on Sunday night. Why is it important? Do you love God? Or would you rather stay home and watch a football game? See, that's the world. This is God. You want to be godly or you want to be worldly? So now you're just meddling. Yep, that's what I'm doing. Because that's what James is telling us right here. James is trying to point out to us that we're worldly. We're worldly and don't even believe it. We don't want to know that we're worldly. Don't bother me. Don't tell me that. I'm doing just fine. Well, while you're doing fine, people's going to hell. Because we're not doing and taking the stand that we ought to be taking. Our preacher's going to get up here in just a few minutes and he's going to start preaching his heart out. Trying to get the gospel to those that are lost. And folks, without God's people here to support that and to support the ministry, we don't have one. We won't have one at all. And it's so important. Get behind your preacher. We can't just leave everything up to him. If you just live a godly life, people notice it. People see it. They're going to point at you. You be in a restaurant and say a prayer, and people look at you. God bless them. I want them to know I'm talking to my God. I'm not one bit ashamed to say a blessing. I want them to know I'm speaking to God. My God gave it to me. My God's blessed me with it. And I am so proud to thank my God for what he's given me. And we all as Christians should be that way. And I got to stop because I'm out of time. Let me get a Sunday school count here. 792, 522, and 270 online. Amen. That's pretty good. Well, we'll take about a 10-minute break and we'll come back for the preaching service.